Reb Labish is walking on the long road. He's going home. He hasn't been home in a long time. He's going to visit his mother. And he's going and he's going, and he's also getting very hungry. Oh, I hope my mother made something good to eat. I'm so hungry. And of course, he's also going to visit his very big tzaddik brother, Reb Shalom. And he's going to the town of Belz. Reb Shalom was the Belzer Rebbe. And Reb Labish was his brother. Finally, Reb Labish gets home to his mother's house, and he hasn't seen her in such a long time, and of course he's hungry. And he was so happy that his mother had baked a brand new, delicious, warm cake, and she gave him a big piece, and he sat down, and of course made a bracha, and visiting with his mother, and talking. And all of a sudden, he hears banging and clapping and noise and metal and wood and a lot of loud voices clapping and banging. What a noise! What a noise! Now, I'm talking about the noise in the lunchroom. There's also noise. Outside was a much bigger noise. What is that noise outside? Oh, yes, you haven't been home in a long time. They're building a brand new shul. Yes, Belz is going to have a brand new shul. And that's the sound of all the workers building and clapping and building the brand new shul. Oh, Reb Labish wanted to go and see the building of the new shul. He wants to go see how they're building it. So he made a bracha achreina. And he said goodbye to his mother for a while. He'll be back later. And all of a sudden, as Reb Labish goes out in the street to see how they're building the shul, he cannot believe his eyes at what he sees. Because not only he saw workers, big, strong workers, schlepping wood and building and hammering and climbing and digging and doing all the things you do to build a shul. In the middle of all the workers, he saw his brother, Reb Shalom, the Rebbe of Belz, himself is working with a hammer and clapping and building. Reb Labish couldn't believe it. My brother, the Rebbe, is working with all the workers, clapping and building and nailing. What's going on? Am I dreaming? Are you dreaming? You should be eating. I should be speaking. Nobody should be dreaming. Shh. And he goes over closer. It's his brother, the Belzer Rebbe, working with a hammer and nails. Is that what a Rebbe usually does? Or a Rebbe is doing all kinds of halakha things and learning Torah and doing mitzvahs and davening? By the way, you should know, when the Rebbe was in this world, in his room, most of the time, nobody knew what the Rebbe was doing. Are you listening to me? How many boys ever saw the Rebbe's room? Whoever davened in the Rebbe's room? Most of the time, the Rebbe was in his room by himself, and nobody, even the Rebbe's secretaries, who used to be closest to the Rebbe going into the room once in a while, could never figure out what the Rebbe was doing. The Rebbe was doing special things. Now, I heard once from one of the Rebbe's secretaries, because he forbrenged in my house with a lot of bachrim, big bachrim, and he said that in all of the years that he used to go into the Rebbe, only a few times could you figure out what the Rebbe was doing. And most of the time, when you went into the Rebbe's room, well, he went into the Rebbe's room, he couldn't figure out what the Rebbe was doing. Because that's a Rebbe, Kindalach. A Rebbe is halik, close to Hashem, and you can't necessarily figure out what a Rebbe is doing, because he's doing such halakha things. Besides, of course, learning and davening and all the mitzvahs, a Rebbe is doing very high, special halakha things. Can you figure out Hashem? No. We also cannot figure out a Rebbe. Now, okay, back to the story. Reb Shalom is building and clopping and hammering and nailing and taking wood and bricks and all the things you do. And Reb Leibish goes over and he says, Reb Shalom, what are you doing? You're the Belzer Rebbe. What are you doing with all the workers building the shul? And in fact, there are even halachas about the leader of the Jewish community doing that kind of work in front of other people. It's even a question in halacha if he's allowed to do it. And Reb Shalom looks at his brother Reb Leibish with a smile and he says, let me tell you this story and then you'll understand what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Akinolach, as we understand, Reb Leibish is thinking his brother is doing a very low thing, even though it's a shul, of course, but when people build a shul, do they usually go out in kapatas and gartlech and Shabbos clothes and start building a shul? Or you have, you know, regular workers building a shul. You could have regular workers building a shul. When it's time that it's finished, well, you can go in there and daven and learn and do all the things we do in shul, all the halakha things. But to build a shul, why is the Belzer Rebbe building the shul? He thinks it's a shaila and halacha to do such a low thing in front of people. And now you're going to hear this story that the Belzer Rebbe told his brother why he is building a shul. The Rebbe said, many years ago, when I was a younger man, I was learning Torah, and I had two chavrusas. Now it seems that the two people that the Rebbe studied with, learned with, they all learned together. All three of them used to learn together. And one night in the shul, they were learning, and all of a sudden they learned a very interesting thing. It said in the Sefer, if you will stay up for 1,000 nights in a row, and you will be learning for 1,000 nights in a row, not just staying up all night, but learning the whole night, and you will not fall asleep once for 1,000 nights, at the end of the 1,000 nights, you will get to see Eliyahu Hanavi. He will come to you. You will get to be with Eliyahu Hanavi if you do this 1,000 nights in a row, and not even one time to fall asleep for 1,000 nights in a row. And they got so excited. Let's do it. Let's stay up for 1,000 nights in a row and learn Torah, and we'll get to see Eliyahu Hanavi. Oh boy. They got excited and they decided they're going to do this. And they start to learn every night. They did not fall asleep. And when the morning came, they were so happy. Look, we learned through the whole night. Now, of course, a person cannot go for 1,000 nights and 1,000 days without ever sleeping. So it must be they had a nap during the day sometime. But at night, they were up learning. Night after night after night. It seemed like the whole night went by in 5 minutes because they were so excited. They want to see Eliyahu Hanavi. And Kinalak, a few weeks go by and a few months go by and every night they're learning. Look, we've gone many times now. It's so good. But you know how long 1,000 nights is? It's about more than 3 years. It's about 3 years, right? 1,000 nights, about 3 years. 1,000 nights is about 3 years. Let's say it's about 3 years. You know how long 3 years is? What's longer, a few weeks or 3 years? Oh, we have a calculator here, and it's going to tell us exactly.
1,000.
Okay, 1,000
divided by
365.
2.7397260 27.
Okay, a little bit less than 3 years. 1,000 nights is almost 3 years. A little bit less than 3 years. Okay. Now, a few weeks go by, even a few months go by, and one of the men starts to get very tired at night. Oh, it's very hard to stay up. I'd love to go in my bed and just go to sleep. I'm getting very tired. But he tried to pinch himself, or to walk around, or try to open up his eyes with his fingers to keep them open. Oh, and I am just so tired. I really have to fall asleep. I can't stay up. But you're going to see Eliyahu HaNavi. Oh, okay. Well, he went for a few times, but then all of a sudden, bang, his head goes down on the table. He fell asleep. Well, he fell asleep. That's it. If you fall asleep even one time, it's not staying up for 1,000 nights in a row. And the next night, he wasn't even there. He was in his bed, in his pajamas, on his pillow, under his quilt, sound asleep. So it was just Reb Shalom and his chavrusa, the man that was left. And they're learning, and they're learning, and they're learning, and they're able to stay up. Until it came, after a year, and after 2 years, they already went a little bit more than 2 years. It was the 800th night. 800 nights in a row. And the other study partner, the other chavrusa, starts to close his eyes. Oh, I'm so tired. But Reb Shalom says to his friend, but you've gone over 2 years already. It's 800 nights. You only have 200 more to go. Oh, but I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And boom, his head fell down on the table. Of course, it was connected to the rest of him. He put down his head and he just fell asleep on the table. He was not able to go anymore, even after 800 nights. And Reb Shalom, the Belzer Rebbe, said, 200 nights to go. Hashem, please help me. I should be able to go alone the next 200 nights. And each night, boys, he is learning, but it's getting more and more difficult because he's getting very tired. 850, 900, he still is awake each night, but he's getting very tired. How many nights are left? If he already went 900 nights, and he has to go to 1,000, how many are left? Who could tell me? Who knows such big, gigantical numbers?
100.
Very good. 100 nights are left. Well, how many minutes are left of story time, Rabbi Rappaport? 1 minute. We have to cover 100 nights in 1 minute. Can we do it? No, no way. We can't cram 100 nights into 1 minute. Even though we changed the clock today. And we went an hour in a second. Well, still, we can't go 100 nights in a minute. So therefore, we will stop. And tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, we will continue with a very interesting story. How many boys think that Reb Shalom was able to make it until 1,000 nights? How many boys think he didn't? Yeah, most boys think he did. Otherwise, what kind of a story would it be if he didn't make it? Reb Shalom is learning by himself in the shul. His two friends are in bed, sleeping in dreamland, on their pillows, under their nice warm quilts, in their pajamas, in their warm house. Shh. Reb Shalem has not slept for 900 nights in a row. He has been up learning Torah for 900 right nights in a row. How many nights is he trying to get in a row? How many nights? Does anybody know how many nights?
1,000.
1,000 nights. 2.7 and something years. Almost 3 years in a row. Shh. Kinalach, it is getting more and more difficult. Oh, of course, by the way, and why does he want to stay up for 1,000 nights? Just because he doesn't want to go to sleep? Huh. There's some kids, bedtime, I don't want to go to sleep, mommy. I want to be up. Some kids like to be up. Reb Shalom is doing this for a reason. Why?
Because he wants to see Eliyahu HaNavi.
Very good. He wants to see Eliyahu HaNavi. How many boys in this room want to see Eliyahu HaNavi? Well, all you got to do is stay up for 1,000 nights in a row and, of course, learn Torah. Not just stay up and play. Learn Torah. Okay, let's hear this story. 910. 920. 930. 940. 950. Oy. Every night is getting more and more difficult. Reb Shalom is getting so tired. But he's still learning. Shh. 960. 970. 980. 990. 991, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 999. What comes after 999? 990, 10? What comes after 999?
1,000!
1,000! But it's not yet 1,000. It's 999. Kinalach, how many nights does Reb Shalom have left until he will see Eliyahu HaNavi?
One.
One night left. And now we go to that night. Reb Shalom knows if he's up the whole night, this last night, he gets to see Eliyahu HaNavi. And he starts to learn. He's so excited. But his eyes start to close. Oh, I feel tired. I've never felt this tired. Oh no, I have to do something to keep myself up. He's holding his eyes open with his fingers, but all of a sudden his fingers fall onto the table and his eyes close. Oh no, I'm so tired. He gets a big bucket of icy water and he puts his feet inside. Of course, he takes off his shoes first. The cold water will keep my feet cold. They'll keep me awake. I couldn't fall asleep if I do this. And he sticks his feet in the cold water and he's learning. Oh no, I'm falling asleep. Oh, it's so hard. I have to stay awake this last night. And he is trying his hardest to stay awake. His candle is burning. He's looking into his sefer. He's falling asleep. And each time he gets himself to be awake. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Hashem, please help me to stay awake this last night. All of a sudden, the wind starts to blow outside. It gets very windy. All of a sudden, the wind blows, the window opens, the wind comes in, and his candle, what do you think happens when the wind blows? Blows out. Oh no! I have to get some matches. If I can't see what I'm learning, and it's dark in the shul, I'm going to fall asleep. I have to keep on learning. He lights the candle. The wind blows again. A different window flies open the shul, blows out his candle. Oh no, I have to keep my candle lit. His candle is lit. All of a sudden, Ooh, sounds like thunder. Sounds like rain. A rainstorm. Okay, a rainstorm. Wind, thunder, lightning. Reb Shlomo moves into the middle of the shul, so the wind is not going to bother his candle. He locked all the windows. All of a sudden, drip, drip. He feels from the ceiling, from the roof, it's not exactly the best roof, and it's a very hard rain, and drops of water are dripping in a little bit. Okay, I'll move over a little bit on the table. All of a sudden, a drop of rain falls on the candle, puts out the candle. Oh no, my candle is wet. I'll dry it off. I'll light it. He lit it again. More rain is coming into the shul. The storm is getting very, very strong. There's thunder and lightning, strong wind, rain. All of a sudden, bang, one of the windows breaks. And rain is coming into the shul through the window, blowing through the broken window, and it sprays the candle. Reb Shalom says, oh no, it's so wet in the shul. I can't see. It's dark and it's wet and the wind and the rain. I have to keep awake and I have to keep learning. Kinelach, whatever he knows, Baal Peh, he's saying. And he feels this is not just a regular storm. Kinelach, do you think this is a regular storm? Or do you think that now, because he is in the thousandth night, it's so halik, he will get to see Eliyahu HaNavi? It could be this storm is trying to stop him. Of course, everything is from Hashem, and these are the mysterious ways of Hashem that is making it so difficult for him to get through this halik thing. He has to go through now a very difficult thing. The storm is trying to stop him from staying up the last night. And Kenelech, no matter what he does, it's more wind and rain. And now Reb Shalom goes to the Arna Kodesh. And he's standing by the Arna Kodesh. He's holding the pareches, the curtain, and he's crying to Hashem, Hashem, please help me to stay awake and to learn. Everything is going wrong and it's so difficult for me and I'm so tired and I can't even see. I don't have my candle and I'm wet and I'm cold and I'm tired. Please, Hashem, give me the koyach. Give me the strength to stay awake. And he's crying. I don't know if more water came from the rain or from his tears. And after a while, who knows how much time passed, I don't know. He stopped crying and he felt himself, he was awake. He felt he poured out his whole neshama to Hashem. And he felt also outside the storm had stopped. In the shul was calm. There was no more wind blowing. There was no more rain shooting in. It sounded quiet outside. Reb Shalom turned around, looking through the broken window, or maybe by this time the broken windows. He saw the moon shining and the night was clear. All of a sudden he saw something moving in the moonlight through the window. It looked like a person was coming to the shul. He ran over to the window. Yes, somebody is walking slowly towards the shul. And you could see him in the moonlight. Who is that? I've never seen him before. It looks like a halik tzaddik. It looks like a malach. Such a special looking person. And Reb Shalom knew deep down inside, this is Eliyahu HaNavi. He was slowly walking to the shul. Yes, this must be Eliyahu HaNavi. Kinelach, Eliyahu HaNavi came into the shul and started learning with Reb Shalom, because this was the end of the thousandth night. And now, Kinelach, of course, this is a story within a story. Reb Shalom is telling this whole story to his brother, Reb Labish, remember? Reb Labish says, why are you working building the shul? Remember this whole story was explaining why Reb Shalom was building the shul with a hammer? And now we get to the end of the story. Reb Shalom says, "My brother, do you know what Eliyahu HaNavi was teaching me that night? Many, many things and many, many secrets of the Torah. And the last thing he told me were the laws and the different special things about building a shul. I learned about building a shul from Eliyahu HaNavi. And it was so special and so very, very special that I learned straight from Eliyahu HaNavi to build a shul. How important, how wonderful, how special, how halakhic it is even to build a shul. I made up my mind after that special night, I want to build a shul. I want to build it. I would like to build it myself if I could. If I could build a shul all by myself without anybody helping me, with all the wood and with all the nails and all the things to do, I would build it myself, because building a shul is such a special halakha thing that I learned about straight from Eliyahu HaNavi. And of course, I could not build it all by myself, so there has to be workers. But I wanted also to do whatever I could to have the schus to also build a shul. And that, my brother, is why I am also building a shul. Not because, chas v'shalom, it's a low thing to work with a hammer and nails. I'm building a shul. And I learned about building a shul from Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, Kinelach, do you understand why Reb Shalom the Tzaddik is building the shul? Because he sees how special it is and halakhic it is. And he learned about it on the 1,000th night from Eliyahu HaNavi. And that, of course, is the end of the story. Now, we've heard stories about a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov called Reb Leib Saras. Now, Reb Leib Saras means Reb Leib, the son of Sarah, or belonging to Sarah. Usually, a man goes by the father's name, but not the mother's name. If you're going to say his last name, it used to be the son of his father and not the son of his mother. Why is Reb Leib Saras called not the son of Yosef? His father's name was Yosef, but his mother's name was Sarah. Why is Reb Leib named more after his mother than his father? Alright, here's the story. Now, Reb Leib Saras' father's name was Reb Yosef. Reb Yosef used to make his living teaching little kinelach Torah, but not in a cheder. A cheder is where, in those days, the Rebbe would be in his house, the kinelach would come to his house, they would go to a room in his house, and we would teach them in his house. Like here, we have a classroom, but the classroom was in the Rebbe's house. And the boys go to cheder, they go to a room in the Rebbe's house, and he teaches them Torah. Rabbi Yosef did not do that. He traveled to far, far away places where the kinelach did not have any cheder to go to. For example, a kretschma. You know what a kretschma is? In those days, one of the ways a Jew would make a living was to have a little hotel by the side of the road. And people traveling would stop at the hotel to sleep and to eat. Now, people would travel sometimes far away places, and the Yid would open up a hotel far, far away. Far away from a town, far away from a city, far away from anything. So a person that's traveling on a far trip would see this place when the night comes, and he says, "Oh good, a place to stay instead of sleeping in the forest with the bears and the wolves and the coyotes. I'll stay in this little hotel in the middle of nowhere." Now, there was a certain Yid who had a few kinelach. The kinelach were far, far away from any town and any city. In fact, to get to any town and city, you had to travel 3 days. And that's how far it was. And their little hotel was 3 days away from any town or city. And they had little kinalach, so they hired Rabbi Yosef to come and live in their hotel. And his job was to teach the kinalach. So he would teach the little boys and the bigger boys different times or maybe at the same time. And he would stay in the hotel and they would pay him. They would give him a room and they would give him food and pay him the money and he would stay there. And once in a while, Rabbi Yosef would go home. Probably just for Yontif. He would stay there most of the time. Once in a while for Shabbos, he'd go home. This is the way Rabbi Yosef made a living, and this is the way the people of the hotel made a living.